What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 10 of the Tony V Project. Got my boy Christos Yagos here, coming fresh off his victory at ACB 82.
Yes, yes. Thanks for having me.
Heck
on.
Yeah, man.
I really appreciate it, and I've seen a couple of your episodes, so this is cool to be here.
Yeah, no. Thanks for coming. Watched it, streamed it on Facebook, and watched you just put it to this guy, man. It was. I know we had for all the South Bay members from Afterburn. I know a lot of you guys were all streaming. It was actually kind of fun because literally on Facebook, which is it's actually the first time I think I've ever watched it live like that on Facebook. And it was super cool to have Brittany and Jason and Kanoa was on there and Ty. And like we were able to like actively throw comments up as we were watching you throw blows. You know, I'd see Ty like, get him, Christos, get him. And, you know, he would type, and then I'd be like, you know, and then I'd throw an emoji on there.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
But it was cool to be able to kind of not necessarily be right next to everybody
so
watching it.
Conversation streak.
Yeah, yeah. It was conversations.
And that's what it was. I saw.
It was super cool.
After the fight with the pictures, my hand raised.
Yeah.
I saw, like, comments and stuff. I was like, what is that?
That's weird. Yeah, and then you would see, I'm sure, other, you know, friends, fans, et cetera of yours, you know, they were making comments go, Christos, go. And, you know, everyone was kind of, you know, liking or hearting the comments, and it was definitely a different but super cool way to watch the fight along with
everybody else.
So, but yeah, man, huge congrats.
Thank you.
Big W.
A lot of training that went into this camp. It's probably one of my longest camps I've had.
Really?
I usually stay in shape and I can take fights 4 weeks notice, 3 weeks notice, because I always like to stay ready. And they gave me this fight six week notice. So I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna push myself, and I wanted to break the guy. The whole game plan was to break the guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what I did.
I mean, again, from watching, I mean, that's totally what I gathered. Like, either like to me, it seemed like he just was not ready for the intensity that you brought, and was kind of overwhelmed, and like got into that, what the fuck do I do? Because you just were like relentless.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got to give most of my props to Jiva Santana, one of my coaches. He came with me the first time I went to Brazil. And the first time I won in Brazil, and then when I was in the UFC, we game planned this thing over and over again. And that's when I figured out game planning works. You know? And it can get boring sometimes because you're going to go to training and you know what you're going to do already. And he's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I just want to train. But you got to do it. You kind of got to put in the work. So this camp, the game plan was to break this guy, make it a grueling, exhausting fight.
Just a dirty.
So what does that mean for me? I got to go every day
your
training.
Your training has got
to
be.
He puts me through the gauntlet. Like, I'm one guy against the wall trying to take him down. If he gets out, I'm hitting pads. And then when my coach falls, I go on somebody on the ground. And it's just over and over again, 6 5-minute rounds like that. Fresh dudes every time. So he wanted to make sure my body was physically ready for a fight like that. And it was great because going into the fight, it just worked out perfectly.
And like, going into the fight, what was your knowledge of him? Like, what did you think his game plan was going to be? Obviously, yours was to just make it dirty and grueling and all of that. But because this guy was good.
Yeah. I mean, for everyone who watched the fight, I know I didn't make him look good, but he was a very, very big fighter. He actually was supposed to get signed by the UFC before, and he got popped for steroids and by the Brazilian commission. So I guess he was suspended for a year. So I've heard. And then he got back into it, and ACB signed him. And so he lost his very first fight, and he won 12 straight. And he was, you know, this big.
And that was going into yours?
No. So he fought another grappler, Ali Begov. He fought on my last card, actually, when I fought in Russia.
Okay.
He was there, and he fought this, like, crazy grappler who's really good, and he's known for his ground. But he didn't do nearly what I did. He took him down. He controlled him, almost had a choke, and then Herderson, my opponent, started coming back in the third round, and I think won the third round against Ali Begov. So Ali Begov won 29-28. I wouldn't say it was an ass whipping. It was more like he, you know, slid by with the win.
Right.
Then when I fought him, nobody's done what I did to him. So.
Yeah, and that's what I had heard after the fact. They were like, dude, no one has controlled him and dominated him in the way that you were able to.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, like I said, it was just a hard training camp, a very exhausting one, a lot of emotions, a lot of getting into the right mindset and just, you know, going out to enemy territory, you know.
And, yeah, that's got to be hard. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, and I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, like it would seem that it's different. It you know, if a Brazilian or a Russian or whatever dude comes over to the U.S. versus us going over there, mm-hmm. like when you're going into hostile territory over there, I mean, you know, that's their boy, that's their crown jewel, and like, you know, you're worried about how the judges are going to score things, and right? I mean, is there a little bit of that or no?
I think so, because you hear a lot, like Americans always look down upon a lot of countries you go to, you know, and especially like in Russia, I was mostly scared when I fought out there. But this fight, I've been to Brazil twice, so I was a little more comfortable, but I've never been to Sao Paulo, I think that's how you pronounce it. And I haven't been to Brazil in a while, so I was just like, man. And after that Russian incident, because a lot of people thought I won the fight, regardless if I did or not, I knew, I was like, I cannot leave this fight close. If I'm going to be in Brazil, fighting a Brazilian, I'm going to definitely have to like show them who's going to win this fight, you know?
I mean, it's probably like a championship fight, right? So if, like, to be the champion, you got to like clearly beat the champion. Like, if it's going to be like a nose, you know, like a real close, like, you know, 29-28 type of a thing, that's probably going to get, the nod's going to go to the champ more often than not. And so when you go to Brazil, whether it's a champion fight or not, it's like you're fighting the champ. You got to make a clear case that you won that.
Put the stamp on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, and it gets to, you know what I mean, the emotions. Being in Brazil, I have nobody there to, like, talk to. I mean, John was there, but I just, it's like, and you don't have connection to your phone a whole lot of times with the Wi-Fi, so you're just like kind of alone in a way. You know? And
is that a good or bad thing?
It depends how you handle it. I think everyone's different, so I think people can really let it get to them and make a lot of mistakes because of that. Or you can kind of like, you know, buckle up, say, look, you're here already. What are you gonna do about it? You know, it's how you overcome it. It's how you, you know, take all the thoughts you have in your head and what you make of it. So it's like, I was just like, I'm here already. I'm getting in the cage regardless.
Yeah.
Let's try to make the best of it. So I just try to like stay focused, stay in the zone. And a lot of people thought I was in a better mental state when they were talking to me through FaceTime. I was trying to call my family back home. So that was cool. John did a really, really good job in keeping me composed, because there was a lot, oh my God, I didn't even go to get here. There was a lot of stress before the fight. Let me tell you about that. If that's
okay. Heck yeah, man.
Okay, so
heck yeah.
So they tell me I have to get my visa for Brazil, and
being like the organization.
The organization, ACB told me they sent a message saying I need my visa and my medicals. So I had got my medicals done. For some reason, this is my mistake, but I thought you had to have your itinerary before you get your visa, so they know when you're leaving. Because when my friends tried to go to Brazil the first time, it was a lot harder to get in. But I guess in January, they made it like way easier now, and it's pretty cheap. So they gave me my itinerary pretty much 2 weeks before my fight. So me and John go to get our visas, and the Brazilian embassy say, oh, you need to set an appointment. So we just went to a lawyer down the street, like, hey, can you help us? We heard you guys do visas. Yeah, we can get it to you when you're leaving. I'm like, Monday. It's Tuesday. He's like, okay, it should be here by like Thursday, Friday, but I always tell my clients 3 to 5 days, business days, so it might come Monday.
Whew.
I'm like, oh, my crap.
That's cutting it close.
But but so he's like, no, but for the most part, it's usually like 2 days, like Thursday, Friday. I'm almost positive you get your visa. I'm like, okay, we do it next day. And they email you the visa, by the way. They don't mail it to you like they used to. So they email it. I have my passport already. Next day, John calls me. I got my visa the next day. Like, cool. All right.
That you means think yours I'm, is coming.
Mine's going to be here. Friday comes along. My lawyer calls me. I'm like, all right, cool. I got my visa. Hey, I need you to send me your passport picture again. I was like, wait, what? The embassy needed a better picture or something. Oh. So I had to go home on my way to training. I freaking print that out. I mean, not print. I scan it. I send it in. Now he's like, okay, it should be ready by tonight or tomorrow. But I guess it takes 48 hours for the embassy to do it. And it was during the weekend where they don't work. So I'm stressed now. Monday comes along. I'm supposed to leave for my flight to Brazil. I'm like, I'm still going to go, whatever. So I'm at the airport.
No visa.
No visa. But I know it's supposed to be coming within like that
day. So you're thinking, you're like checking your email. Come on.
So the lady's like, look, we can't let you fly without it. I'm like, I'm going to get it. Don't worry. She's like, we can't let you fly without it because it's a $10,000 fee if for me and the airline for letting me fly. So she said, I'll give you till 10 o'clock. I'm like, all right, I'm waiting. I call my
lawyer. In the airport.
Yeah, in the airport. Or like at the gate. I'm at my gate for the flight.
No shit.
10 o'clock happens, nothing. Oh. All right, so I hit up ACB. They sent me a new flight for the next day. I leave 10:06.
So you got it sometime between the next day.
6 minutes later, I'm leaving the airport.
6 minutes after the first flight was supposed to take off, you get the email.
Well, I leave, so I have to go back through security in order to get back in. I wasn't going to make it, but 10:06, my lawyer calls me, hey, your visa just got committed.
Oh, my God.
Boom. So I had to stay an extra day, and then when I get there, my medicals never got sent to them.
Holy shit.
And it's like 4 in the morning over here, so they want to take me to the doctor to do my medicals over there. I'm like, no, I did them already.
Yeah.
So just wait. I promise I get them to you. That gets squared away. Now me and John, after the fight, we had an extra day. We're trying to go home. My ticket's canceled.
John was telling me this.
Yes.
John was telling me this.
Because I didn't go on the flight the first day. The connecting flight got canceled.
They scrapped it because they thought you weren't on.
Yeah, so they sent me a one-way there. I had no way of getting back. So I spent $2,700 buying mine and John's ticket flying back. But they're going to reimburse me, they said. So that's the good news. But like I said, if I would not have won that fight.
I was going to say that would have.
Holy crap. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Maybe that's what fired you up even more.
I can't take another loss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's
when all you want to do and all you need to do at that point is focus on the opponent and the fight and everything you got going on. And you got to deal with all that nonsense. That's overcoming.
That was crazy, but it was a very good experience, and now it's a good story. So you can always look back and just have these moments,
right?
You know. So
is another thing is with him being popped prior for steroids. Is that something that gets in your head? Because obviously it's a big thing now in the MMA world. You know, the steroid issue, and so if you know you got an opponent who's done it before and been popped, like does that fuck with your head at all? Or
a little bit, but. Not too much because I know I've been fighting guys like this for a while. And now that it sucks, because when I was signed with UFC, when I had a first round submission off a Brazilian guy in Brazil, and then a couple weeks later, I find out he got popped, was suspended from the UFC for a year. But I had beat him, so
yeah.
I still get the win. If he would have got the win, he would
have been no contest.
Yeah,
right?
But I still get the win. He got suspended and ended up getting kicked out. But I know I've been fighting these guys. When I fought this guy, Josh Emmett, he's like number 5 in the world now in UFC. But when I fought him, before he got signed, you just know he's on.
Yeah.
There's certain ways you can tell. Then he gets signed by UFC. They have all these like drug testing rules now. He goes down a weight class. So I was like, okay, he's for sure on it now. So I know I've been fighting these guys already. I've never touched it in my life. So that's why I want to be back. I'm just, my job right now is trying to get back to the UFC just because I know how clean they are now and I want to be there.
The playing field is at least, you know, from a regulatory standpoint, it's on a more level.
I want to fight fair. I always fought fair and, but I know I'm going to come across these guys and it's just something you got to look past. You never know who's taking it. So you got to be ready at all times.
At all times.
Yeah.
So kind of give me a little bit of a background on kind of how you got rolling on, you know, in the MMA scene and everything. When you used to fight for UFC and did you take were you on like a little bit of a hiatus or a break and then just come back a couple of years ago or?
No. I've been fighting nonstop.
You've been consistent nonstop.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what I thought, but someone said the other day that you were, you know, you had taken like a year or two off and were coming back.
No, I've never taken more than a year off. I had gotten surgery one time, which kind of
got it.
Was a little bit of a break, my longest break, but for the most part, I always fight at least 3 to 4 times in a year. The past 2 years have been a little slower with like ACB, the organization, finding me fights, but how I got started was pretty cool because I've played sports my whole life, you know, football, basketball. Yeah. Then going into my senior,
I was impressed with your basketball skills the other day when you were with someone you posted on Facebook and a little kid. I don't know.
Oh yeah, Tarion. Oh, that's Tarion's kid. He fights in the UFC tomorrow, by the way. He's fighting.
Right on.
And Verdub's fighting in the main event.
Yeah.
So that's his kid, Jaden.
Okay.
So I was just balling.
Yeah, you were balling around. And, that was.
But
cool.
Yeah, so I played sports my whole life. So I kind of grew up an athlete, and then I joined. Well, I didn't want to play football because it took him a whole summer. I was like, you know what? I kind of want to party, go with girls, stuff like that. It's my senior year, so I needed a new experience, so I switched it to wrestling.
First time wrestling?
Never wrestled. My senior year, I'm going to just do that as an experience because I had some friends that were on the wrestling team. So I didn't even do it to wrestle. I just did it because I needed a six period.
Yeah.
And then they joined us up in a circle with, the veterans are over here, first-time wrestlers over here, and we're doing takedowns, and I want to win, you know what I mean? It's my first-time wrestler. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, we're going to go, you know what I mean? And I started mopping these first-time wrestlers up, and then I end up taking this one kid down. He tries to post, and I break his wrist all the way up to his elbow. And the guys around my circle are like, what are you doing? You know, you're a good wrestler. Why are you doing this? I'm like, I never wrestled ever before. You know, he thought I'd been wrestling for a while. So I was like, dang, I guess.
Maybe I'm halfway decent at this.
I got pretty excited at that. And then me and my friends, they did this open tournament. But I was like, I'm not doing varsity. I'm going to just do JV. I ended up taking first place in that tournament. Tournament ever, only like a month of training, really.
Really?
I learned like a half Nelson and like how to do a couple takedowns. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, this is cool. So I ended up doing the season. I ended up taking the MVP in my school. I did pretty well. Went to CIF, but going to CIF, that's when I took a little 2-week break and started partying a lot.
Yeah.
I was just over wrestling. I was winning so much, I was just over it. And then,
at that point, when you're going to, I mean, now you're messing with the best of the best from.
Yeah. So my first.
A lot less room for.
First match I was winning by like 3-4-0, and then I ended up gassing out like completely. And then I got pinned, and then the second match I got disqualified because I had a tongue ring in. So, but that was, besides that, I had a really good wrestling career. I got the most pins award for my school. I got the MVP trophy. And then me and my friends, we stayed friends a little bit. My friend had a key to the wrestling room somehow. I don't know how he got it. I forgot how he got it. So we watched a UFC event. It was
When was this? Like what year?
2008.
Okay.
It was like Chuck Liddell versus Wanderlei Silva.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was so we watched that. We're like, this is like, you know, a street fight pretty much.
Yeah.
I didn't know what jiu-jitsu was at the time. I just thought it was like wrestling and fighting. So we got some guys who agreed. We bought some UFC gloves. We broke in the wrestling
room
at like 1 a.m. and we matched people up. But nobody wanted to fight me, and nobody wanted to fight my friend Robert. My friend Robert, he loves this story all the time because I've said it a couple of times. But he's 265 pounds. He was 100 pounds.
Big
he
dude.
100 pounds on me. And I was like, Robert, you want to go? He's like, I'll break your freaking arm. And I was like, bro, like we're just doing this for fun. Yeah. You know? Not for fun. Like, it's serious, but we're just going to do it. And so we start going at it. You know, I cracked him a couple of times. He tries to take me down. He has my, it's like a single. I just keep hitting him. And then my friends stand us back up. And he comes charging in again, trying to take me down, and I just cracked him and I knocked him out. And he just dropped and then woke up, and his lip was all bloody, and then they had to stop because his dad didn't want us to go do that. He had said, do not go fight, because we said we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But we did it anyway. So I played football with this kid, Jelani, and I was kid friends with him, and I knew his dad owned a gym, so I just kind of went over there, and I was one of those guys. We get
like an MMA gym type thing?
Yeah,
or?
It's called Elite Training Center in Redondo.
Okay.
Yeah, so a couple of people from Afterburn trained there, yeah. So I know the owner. I knew the owner for a while. He never really liked me because I was kind of a troublemaker in school.
No.
I'm a lot better now, you know. I went from being a troublemaker to a role model, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But I go to the gym, and we get these guys that I train, I teach at gyms, like all the time, come in, I want to fight. That's exactly what I did. I came in, like, I want to fight, you know, like that was my thing. I watched the Ultimate Fighter one time. I was like, I want to try out for that show. So I signed up, and my first day, we do an MMA class, and some kid put me in a triangle choke, and I thought I was winning, you know, wrestling. He put me in a triangle choke, and I sat down after I tapped out. I was like, did this guy really just choke me out with his freaking legs? Like, did that just happen?
Yeah.
I didn't know what jiu-jitsu was.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, this is cool. So I just signed up 3 months later, did my first jiu-jitsu tournament, took first, kept going. One year later, they were like, hey, do you want to fight? I was like, yeah. I had my first pro fight, ended up winning, and just kept going from there.
That's rad, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it kind of fell into place in a way.
Yeah.
Like destiny, I guess you could say.
Heck yeah, man. Well, I mean, especially you find something, you know, that you're good at, you have never done any wrestling or anything, and you jumped into it, and it obviously just was meant to be.
Yeah, no, it was cool. And you don't have to rely on your other team, you know what I mean? It's all yourself, but losing's a lot worse because Because now it's all on you. You can't blame nobody else.
I had that question with John. You know, you're playing football, basketball, baseball. I mean, you know, when you lose, the team loses. Even if you think like, oh, like I fucked up and I cost my team the victory, like it's still a team.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different ball game. Especially, I believe, and I don't know from personal experience, obviously, but I would imagine it's got to be a whole different ball game. Not only when it's a one-on-one thing, because all you can, if you want to, you can blame your coaches. But at the end of the day, you only have you to look back on. And in combat sports, it's got to be even that much more difficult to take a loss versus a tennis match or whatever, you know, any other one-on-one sport. Like, it's
absolutely. Exactly, like tennis.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's because all eyes are on you, and it's only you in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like when you lose, it hurts a lot more than having a team you can blame, you know?
Right.
But when you win, I feel like it's a lot more.
Better. So. Well, the highs and lows have got to be just, you know, exponentially, you know, bigger than that on a regular sport.
Definitely.
So then, obviously, it wasn't something that you had always wanted to do. You kind of fell into it. Do you, like, what's your ultimate goal with it now? I mean, like, where do you want to go? What do you see yourself? I mean, obviously, you want to get back to the UFC. That's ultimate goal, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, this is it. Like, this is your thing, and you want to take this all the way to the top.
Couple things. So, UFC is cool, more for like the fame side of it, and I can, you know, make a name for myself. I already kind of made a name for myself, especially in the Southern California. So that's pretty cool. But I want to make it a little bigger. So if I do open up a gym one day, you know, I have something that, you know, I can be the face.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something I'm looking forward to. Just keep fighting, building my name, and saving money. So I'm trying to save money. I do want to end up opening real estate, you know, buying a place, renting them out, things like that.
Yeah.
Haven't really looked into flipping yet, but I'm sure that's something I can get into once I start. But that's something I feel like people get a lot of success with, and I'm really looking to opening up real estate in the future.
Yeah.
So
you got a whole bunch of different things that you want to...
Yeah. So either I want to do real estate first, and once I have a couple places, I can focus on the gym and just kind of work from there.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do. So right now, just saving up the money so my money can work for me later.
Yeah. So how many? You have one fight left on your ACB contract?
Yes, one fight left. Or I think until June. It was 1 year or three fights, whatever's faster. So if I wait till like June, July, I think my contract ends. But since I won this fight, I got a little raise for next fight, so I might try.
You did?
So I try.
Like a winning bonus, or like for the next fight,
no,
you get a bump
like
in pay
for,
kind of
like
a thing?
For example, if you win a fight, like in the UFC, when you start, you get 10,000 to fight, 10,000 to win. Now, if you lose, you stay at that pay. If you win, your next fight's 12,000 to fight, 12,000 to win.
Got it.
It's kind of like something like that. They do
okay.
the same stuff.
They do the same type of thing?
So, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Like and that. What are their, so ACB, obviously. UFC, what other organizations have you fought in?
Have I fought in? UFC, the RFA, they're the LFA now, but the RFA is like, they're one of the biggest feeders for the UFC.
Oh, is it really?
I'm still undefeated with them, by the way, 3-0.
Nice.
the first time I fought for them, I headlined the first sanctioned fight ever in South Dakota, and I headlined the whole show, and I won with a flying knee knockout, and it was just crazy. It's like South Dakota, never seen fights, sanctioned fights before. They go to the first one ever. It was like hitting all these headlines. And that's what got me signed by the UFC the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, I'm in the main event. I'm in his home turf pretty much. Nothing new.
Yeah. Seems to be a common theme. Like, you're going into other people's hometowns.
And then, so I went with this crazy flying knockout, and it was just headlines all over. UFC had to pick me up at that point. But you know what's cool? Like, my nickname is Spartan, since I'm Greek.
Yep.
Christos is Spartan Iagos, and it's kind of cool. It's like I get to travel to different lands and kind of try to conquer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's cool.
It kind of fits the criteria pretty
it does.
Good. Yeah.
Now, you're still originally from here, though, from the States.
Yes.
Would it, I mean, well, first of all, has there ever been an MMA match in Greece?
They do fights out there. I know that because there was a Greek guy who got signed by UFC, but he was really garbage. And a lot of people were trying to compare, but he was pretty bad. He got cut right away.
Did he?
And so he won a lot of fights there. So I don't know how good the talent is there.
Got it.
But ACB is actually going to Cyprus, which is right next to Greece.
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting at. Is would it be cool to go and fight over there
absolutely.
If you had the opportunity?
I would love to do that because I got a lot of family out there.
Yeah.
My parents are from Greece, actually. Yeah. So I have a lot of family out there who always try to hit me up. So if I get to fight out there, I think that... it would be really cool. It'd be like an honor, you know, to kind of go to my roots and fight. So that's somewhere I plan on fighting for sure, at least once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say your, like, what's your wheelhouse when you're in the cage? Like, I mean, it seems to me that, you know, you got a blend of everything, which is obviously, I mean, nowadays you can't just be a good striker or just be good. You kind of have to have everything. But if you had to pick something, I mean, are you, is stand up your thing? Is wrestling? Is jiu-jitsu? I mean,
that's the thing.
Or like,
I like it all. I wouldn't say jiu-jitsu is my worst part because people underestimate my jiu-jitsu, and my jiu-jitsu is actually pretty good.
Well, this guy was supposed to be pretty good jiu-jitsu, right?
No, he's actually a striker.
Like, the guy, he was just pure striker.
He's a very good striker, and very hard to take down. That's the thing.
But you were able to take him down.
Yeah, because I would just push him forward. But he defended like two or three of them. But and then I got him down. The times I got him down, I'm keeping you down.
Yeah.
You know? So the thing is, I have a good fight IQ, I think, and depending on who I fight is where I want that fight to go. So my last four fights, the majority of it was on the feet because three of those guys were black belts in jiu-jitsu. And it's not that I can't compete with them on the ground. It's like, I'm not going to play to your strengths. I'm going to play to their weaknesses. So that's the way I like to fight.
Well, and if you're well-rounded enough to be able to do that.
Exactly. So my last guy, the Russian guy, I did want to take him down, but he just moved a lot, and he was actually hard to take down. So then you have to reserve, go back to your striking, which I fairly did well against that too. You know, I dropped him twice. But this guy was a striker, and it's not that I can't strike with him. I felt like I did fine on the feet with him. It was more...
Plus that self-awareness thing we always talk about, Jay, and, you know, I mean, it's knowing what you're good at. When I saw, oh my God, I'm drawing a complete blank right now. Holly Holm, but
Ron Rousey?
Rousey. When Rousey went against Holly Holm, I called it before the fight. I was like, I have this feeling she's going to lose. But two, the second I saw her, like, I was like, I just feel like she's going to trot up and stand up and bang with her. Mm-hmm. And like, she does not have the technical skill that Holm does.
Yeah.
And I just got this feeling that she's just going to get lit up. And sure enough, she does. But it's like, for you, I mean, because I think that's like a lack of self-awareness, you know what I mean? Which ended up costing her the fight. Oh, yeah, and then it just went downhill from there. Like, you have to check yourself. You can't let your ego get the better of you just because you want to prove something to the, you know, to the fucking masses or whatever. Like, you need to fucking toss her ass around, get on top, you know, do what you do. That's your game. That is your bread and butter. What has got you as far as it's gotten you. And for you to try to stand and bang with someone who boxes and who has technical precision striking, like, you pay for it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. She came in with her chin up.
Yeah.
Rushing in. Like, she did everything Holly Holm can excel at in that fight. She played to Holly Holm's strengths rather than going towards her weakness, which Misha Tate submitted her.
Yeah.
Misha Tate should not have beaten Holly Holm.
Yeah. But she played the smart game.
Yeah.
That's
all Ronda had to do. But she's... When you win for so long, you start
believing
the hype and the ego, and everyone thought that she was going to smash it. So I'm sure that got to her too. So, but that's not me. I like to play to their weaknesses.
Yeah.
So, and I like to be good everywhere because if I can't get to their weakness,
you got a backup.
I'm about to fight you at your strength.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can do
You can. Yeah. So. You can hang with them in whatever realm that is.
But yeah, I started off as a wrestler, and ground and pound was my game, and I'm kind of happy I got to do it because I haven't got to do some ground and pound. Couple of fights actually, so it's been a while, and that's where I started at. So it was really fun to kind of see what I can do now, and I'm a lot better at it. So that's pretty good.
Is there a fighter that, you know, you looked up to or was kind of your idol growing up that, you know, you either wanted to emulate or that, you know, you just watched all the time?
Anderson Silva,
hands down.
Yeah, it was cool as I got to train with him a couple of times. I used to go.
Oh, no way.
He opened up a gym in Torrance. It's not there no more.
Yeah,
but we're one of my boys.
It's not there anymore.
No,
did it just close down just recently?
Yeah, a couple months ago.
I was gonna say because I thought it was up fairly recently.
Yeah, it might still like kind of be there, but it's pretty much done. Yeah, one of my best friends, Mike Safai, he actually was training Anderson Silva strength and conditioning, and that's how I got to meet him and be cool with them. But growing up, like. The Anderson was a guy to watch. He started making people look stupid.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I wish I could be that comfortable. But I also, used to watch Frankie Edgar a lot, which one of my Brian Ortega, I don't know if you saw that fight. No. Yeah. Okay, I grew up, he's the first one to ever finish Brian Ortega. I mean, sorry.
Other way,
finished Frankie Edgar. And I grew up fighting with Brian. My first time I won my first title, he got that same title that same night. And we did an amateur show together. We kind of grew up fighting. Now he's number one in the world.
That's right. You know,
he's fighting for the for Max Holloway next
That's
year.
That's impressive,
one,
considering that 145-pound
title, yeah.
The Frankie Edgar and Maynard fights were some of the best ever. I mean, I remember those, man, and just getting dropped three times in round one and coming back to, like, those were some. So if he actually finished him after some of the, you know, what he endured on those couple of fights in the first round or two, that's impressive.
Yeah, you got to watch that fight. He cracked him with an elbow and then finished him with the uppercut, and the uppercut hit him so hard. He got off the ground.
Feet.
Yes. No, literally. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, definitely watch that for sure.
Anderson Silva, I was talking to, was it John? It wasn't on the show. It was, I forget who it was or what it was about. But we were talking about how his mystique, right, for the longest time, like, made people nervous. And because I think whoever I was talking to, we were talking about how, you know, he used to keep his hands down and dance and move. And for so long, the Forrest Griffins and it doesn't really matter who, everyone he came across was so afraid to engage with him that he was able to do that. And the first person that said, that had that mentality of, like, I'm going to push forward, was what's his name? Who beat him?
Chris Weidman.
Weidman, and like, do you see that as that? Like, do you see, like, when you look back at his previous fights, that was it just that it just finally takes somebody, aka Weidman, to have the guts and the courage to just press forward, and, you know, rather than falling into Anderson's game plan. Or do you think it was just like, hey, look, he's getting a little bit older, getting a little bit slower, and time catches up, and it is what it is.
That's what I think it is mostly. I thought that because I thought Forrest Griffin was pushing forward. He was coming forward, but he was coming forward with his chin up.
Yeah.
And he was a little slower than Anderson. So that was Anderson's style. He perfected it, and that's a style that's hard to deal with. And I felt like, you know, Weidman was the younger, fresher, undefeated fighter coming up, and Anderson, you know, he hit a pretty high age, you know.
Yeah.
There was an interview before that fight, and it's like he almost knew he was going to lose.
You could tell he was kind of out of it.
He was just like, you know, I win, and just, you know, I'm tired, I win all the time. And he defended 16 times, or he won 16 straight, he defended like 12 times. And it was just like, it got to the point where I think he just wasn't mentally there maybe anymore, and just the old fight that he had, just he didn't have anymore. And Weidman was hungry and came, and you know, and then Anderson started dancing around and got clipped out. So, I don't think it was more of a Weidman having the style for Anderson. I think it was just more of Anderson was kind of on the down and Weidman.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
So, who, is there somebody you want to fight next or somewhere you want to fight next? Or, I mean, what's,
Not really. I want to fight in England. So ACB has England in May. So hopefully they book me on that one. That's where.
That's only two, like 2 months from now.
Yeah. So I'm going to get ready. I'm going to start training. I trained yesterday. So
yeah.
I'm getting back in shape already. And
I was going to say, I mean, even obviously now, I mean, it's been, what, a week and a half since the fight? Oh, no. Five days. 6 days.
1 week today.
Yeah. Oh, so 1 week ago today. Yeah. But even day after, when I you know, you post a couple of pictures and everything of the victory, and it doesn't even look like you were.
No, I had a mark. I had a mark right here from, I think, my face rubbing the mat.
Yeah.
Or the cage, but that was it. It was like a little like a burn. But besides that, no, I was fine. I didn't get really hit, so that was good. I try to save my brain as much as I can.
Yeah. You're gonna need it to flip those houses, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, you gotta keep that thing.
Use it later.
But yeah, I mean, I think you said you maybe had a question or so you want to ask me?
I got a couple questions I want to ask you, you know, because you're a very successful individual and you do a lot of things. And I want to know, when you started, you opened up a gym, right? That was how you started, or?
Well, I started as a trainer. That's what I was a personal trainer for a long time, and then slowly built that business.
And you had goals, right?
Had goals, always. Okay. And then, yeah, I mean, it got to a point where I was like, hey, look, I want to keep growing. I don't want to be stagnant. And so the next step was that or be stagnant.
So what kept you motivated? What's something that kept you motivated to keep going? Because I know there's all these obstacles and there's times you want to stop. And I mean, who knows? Maybe you didn't. You were so motivated you didn't. But I know a lot of people have these thoughts of, man, is this ever going to happen? Am I ever going to get there? What kept you motivated in life to keep pushing?
Easy, man. Regret.
Regret.
Regret. To and that literally, I remember like when I was contemplating like what do I do next, and you know, you're scared of those roadblocks, those obstacles, everything. It's to me, it was the fear of regret.
Uh-huh.
Like outweighed the fear of failure like 100 to 1. Like I'll fail, I'll lose, I'll whatever, but the idea that I could potentially not try something and wake up 20 years down the road and think, ah, fuck, what if I should have given it, a shot, like that scares the shit out of me. Uh-huh. And so that is what is my biggest driving force.
Okay. That's pretty cool. That's like the Michael Jordan quote, right?
I have it on my wall in my office.
Okay. Yeah. I can accept failure. I can't accept not trying. So
yeah,
that's okay.
The one I have in my office is something like, you know, I've missed 400 or, you know, 40,000 shots in my career. I've missed 15 game winning shots. You know, things that he's failed at and lost at. And then I think, you know, the end is like, you know, and that's why I win. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you're willing to endure failures to fucking learn, and that's how you get better, and you know, that's how you have to play the game.
What is the best and worst purchase you've ever purchased?
Of anything or business related?
Both. I feel like
this is sounds super cheesy right now, but I guess the best purchase is Mr. Tankers.
what's this, Mr. Tankers? Oh, you're
the dog. I love that little guy.
That's a good one.
So he has been the best purchase. Worst purchase, shitty employees. Like, you know what I mean? A bad hire that turns out. I don't know. I can't think of like an actual physical purchase type of a thing. I don't know.
Okay, that's a hard question.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
All right.
The best one is definitely Mr. Tankers, though.
Yeah. Last one. So I've seen you've been training with John.
I have.
And I know he asked you this, too. But that's the second part to the question. But have you ever thought about doing a fight? Even if, like an amateur, headgear. not professional. But, like, you know, just to get it like an exhibition match.
I was trying to tell the first words out of my mouth when John asked me the same question. I was like, I'm getting old, dude. Like, I can't be doing it. He's like, you're not, you know, and try to fucking put that to rest. So I don't know if I can use that excuse again. You know, it's funny when I did a little bit of training for a while, call it, I don't know, prior to opening up this place. And I used to train out of like my own personal clients, but also used to take classes and train MMA, boxing, kickboxing, stuff like that over at Big John's before they shut down the street.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who I used to do like kickboxing and boxing stuff with would ask me the same shit, you know, and, you know, to be honest, I don't know why, just for fun. I've always kind of done it for fun. And as a hobby, I really enjoy it.
It's just a question. A lot of people like to do it for fun. It takes a lot of, mental strength to kind of, I'm not saying you're not mentally tough, but like,
not mentally tough.
You have to be in a different kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Fighters, there's a little crazy in them, you know what I mean? No, it was good talking to you, and
I know something. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
I want to know, for this next fight, whether it be in May or whatever with ACB, I want to get Afterburn on your shorts. So if you got a sponsorship, front and center, so we will talk, but I want...
Definitely. You know, we can make that happen. 100%. I'm always looking for new sponsors, and that was something to be cool to represent, you know, especially because I'm one of the trainers there and everything like that. And you know, it's funny, man, I talked to John too about, I was like, hey, do you think Afterburn will sponsor me? And, he's like, yeah, you should talk to him. But I just got nervous, but I'm glad you brought it up because we can make that happen for sure. 100%. Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, we'd be honored, honestly. No,
perfect. And I'll let you know as soon as I find out my next fight, I'll come talking.
Let us know.
And, we'll get going.
We'll get another big group thing going, whether it's at the underground or whatever, we'll all watch it. And best of luck to whenever that happens. And congratulations again on that last fight, brother.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Christos.
Of course.
See you guys next week.
See you guys.